I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The last word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
I'm now joined by Shona Murray, who's Europe correspondent with Euronews. Shona, Viktor Orban's 16-year reign in Budapest has come to an end. How big was the defeat?
It was a massive defeat. Two-thirds majority, emphatic support from the whole of Hungary. You should have seen the scenes in Budapest last night. It was like the end of the Soviet Union, or akin to the fall of the Berlin Wall. It was really incredible. He had been trailing Peter Magyar for several weeks, but nobody could quite believe that this would actually emerge. I mean, Magyar's lead was into double digits about 2 weeks ago, but still, even in the days before the election, I was speaking to Hungarian experts, and they all just were concerned that somehow Orban would pull it out of the bag by some sort of level of electioneering or some stunt, or that there would be votes that would have been bought or people forced to the ballot box and so on. But that didn't emerge.
And in terms of the new or the incoming Prime Minister, Peter Magyar, what do we know about him?
The Magyar is an Orban ally, former Orban ally. He only left Fidesz in about 2023. He left because of corruption, but he'd been there throughout the sort of high and peaks of Orban really transforming the country into what he described himself as an illiberal state. I mean, Hungary is no longer regarded as a democracy. So he'd been there when Orban destroyed the separation between the justice system and the government, that where he fired judges, deployed his own people within the justice system, fired journalists and editors in state media, imposed his own people in place, fired directors of museums, historical sites, you name it, just put his own cronies all across the institutions of the state. And Magyar was part of that. But the EU has recently taken action against this illiberalism and has withheld billions and billions of euro, about 20 billion euro at the moment, but more in the past, from Hungary in relation to subsidies, whether it's structural funds, cohesion funds and so on. And the country's economy is really slumped because it's so insecure and there's very little investment. So Magyar left saying that corruption was his issue, and that's what he campaigned on. He said that he would fix the country's economy, but also restore Hungary's rightful place at the heart of the European Union and do the reforms to ensure that corruption is no longer there, and that the EU will then deliver all that money to Hungary, which is so needed.
So given Orban's connections with Europe being fractious, I mean, obviously he vetoed or has vetoed this 90 billion euro loan to Ukraine. Obviously, his relations with the Kremlin, etc., that have been in the spotlight. So where does this leave those future relations? I mean, where does Magyar kind of see himself in relation to Moscow?
In relation to Moscow, he gave a press conference today and he said that he wouldn't phone Putin, but if Putin phoned him, he would take the call and he would tell him to stop killing people and stop the war. So he took a position there, unlike Orban, who said there was two sides to the war, that, you know, Zelensky is killing Russians and Russians are killing only Zelensky or Ukrainians because they were provoked into the war because of NATO and so on, which we all know is nonsense. And so Magyar is taking the position that Ukraine is the country that has been suffering a territorial conquest and that the war is illegal and totally wrong. That doesn't mean he's going to endorse everything that the EU is doing with Ukraine, because the Hungarians don't have huge amount of money. So he said that they won't participate in the loan, the 90 billion euro, but he will endorse it, and that he'll unblock it. Yeah, exactly, that's right, yeah.
Okay, but is he a kind of a cheerleader for, you know, Kiev's kind of accession into the EU, or where does he stand on that?
He's supporting the accession, but he said he won't support a fast track, which is, I mean, kind of having it both sides. Yeah. There is no fast track for Ukraine. So that's kind of like a value judgment that he's putting on the process, because the Ukraine, well, there is huge goodwill for Ukraine to join the EU. They do have to go through the same stringent processes that have been created over the past few years, because we know that the process of enlargement in the countries like Hungary and Poland wasn't good enough, because that's why he ended up with Viktor Orban, that he was able to breach the EU's rule of law. So there's more stringent processes processes. Ukraine is doing well in that regard, but every time it does something, a structural reform in one way or the other, Hungary has still blocked it from closing off on certain chapters. So Magyar said he will support Ukraine's membership of the EU, but not fast track. We don't know what that means, to be honest with you. That could be anything, because remember, there were concerns over certain countries, Hungary, Poland and others, around even Ukraine being part of the single market when it comes to agriculture, because they don't want their, you know, the market being sort of taken over by big Ukrainian farmers. So that is going to be problematic. But in terms of him being pro-Putin, he is not.
Okay. How is this result being viewed in Brussels? I mean, how are Ursula von der Leyen and the rest of the Commission viewing this?
Just couldn't be happier. There is a huge sigh of relief. It's actually very helpful for Ireland too, because Ireland is taking over the presidency of the European Council on the 1st of July, and Ireland would have been stuck trying to get all these packages through with Viktor Orban blocking them. So for example, at the Foreign Affairs Council, he'd been blocking the 20th sanctions package against Russia. So it would have been down to Helen McEntee as the Minister in Foreign Affairs to try to get that passed. Now that's likely that will pass. So without Orban blocking the whole of the European Union, you can see things move a little bit easier, because obviously we are stuck in a very fragile geopolitical situation. So they are over the moon. I mean, I've been speaking to diplomats, you know, members of the Commission, who are just breaking out the champagne that he is no longer there to obstruct everything. And remember, it's far more serious than that. You know, there was tapes of him speaking directly to Putin, saying, "I can be at your service. I will be your mouse. I'll be the mouse to your lion." And also Peter Szijjártó, his foreign affairs minister, taking calls from Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, guaranteeing him that he would get names taken off the EU sanctions list, asking him what he could do to be of service to the Russians. I mean, that's basically Russian assets.
Yeah.
So it was really very harmful, their presence.
Has there been any contact from the White House in relation to this yet?
No, because as we know, Trump himself endorsed twice Orban in the remaining hours of the election. And then J.D. Vance came over with his wife for a whole 2-day visit in the middle of the Iran war. J.D. Vance was in Budapest telling Hungarians that the European Commission has been interfering in their election while he interfered in their election. And in fact, the Commission, you know, has been extremely careful not to say anything about Hungary critical, for lest they be accused of interfering in the election. So it was kind of Orwellian, really.
What now for Viktor Orban? Does he quietly go away, or does he become a stalking horse and making life very difficult for Magyar and his new government?
Well, he could try that, but then you could find he knows that there is probably a large swathe of corruption investigations that could, you know, take up his time if he were to be problematic to Magyar. I mean, he did phone Magyar himself and congratulated him. And obviously, the defeat was just so monumental that he couldn't dare maybe say he wasn't. But Magyar has said that he's going to take action and investigate criminal charges when it comes to Peter Szijjártó over his conversations with Sergei Lavrov. So you imagine Orban might be concerned that he might find himself in that position as well. So so far, Orban is not, it looks like he is cooperating. And remember, you know, these changes that Orban made to de-democratize Hungary over the past 16 years will take an awful long time to unravel, because he's put his own people at every single level, whether it's, you know, to do with media ownership or this sovereignty law office that he put in, which was there to prevent investigations from, like, the Transparency International. It's really, really deep. So Magyar will need to maybe root out those people or get them on his side, maybe get Orban to do it. But Orban could easily be investigated for what he has done to the country over the past few years. So we don't know what the fate of that will be.
Seanan Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.